impossible to please God. So how in the world are we ever going to live our life fully and totally for God and find out His will for our life unless we walk in faith? Amen? Come on. Because where there's no faith, there are no miracles. Daring faith is the key to miracles in your life. Now, I'm not just talking about healing. I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about anything that is a work of God in your life in reality is a miracle. Anything that He does becomes supernatural when God touches it. And so if you're not seeing miracles in your life, then maybe you're not walking with a daring faith. Just maybe. Just maybe. Well, God wants us to have an active faith, a faith that lives on the edge and is willing to take risks and believe Him for more. Come on, are you with me this morning? And I don't know what God's getting ready to do, but in my spirit, for our church, I'm not just talking about personally, but corporately, I really feel like God is getting ready to do something great. God is getting ready to do something big. But if we're not willing to step out in faith when God begins to lead us, then we're going to miss what He wants to do in our lives. I love the Lord of the Rings movies and the books by Tolkien, and so they had those movies came out, and then you remember the Hobbit movies came out. Maybe some of y'all saw the Hobbit, and in the last movie, the Battle of the Five Armies or something like that, the dwarves are caught up in their stronghold as the enemy is approaching, and they're horribly outnumbered, vastly outnumbered by this enemy. And Thorin, the king of the dwarves, asks his friends, listen to me. He says, will you follow me into battle one last time? It's a turning point in the movie. Will you follow me into battle one last time? And they all stand and pick up their swords. And the next scene, they see the wall comes busting down, and the dwarves, there's about 10 of them, come charging through the wall to lead the dwarf army against this huge army of evil that's there. And they charge straight in to the middle of the army with swords clanging. And Bilbo Baggins has been off in the distance watching all of this. And he suddenly, he looks at Gandalf and he says, look, the dwarves are rallying. And Gandalf turns to him and says an immortal line. When I saw it in the movie, I saw the spiritual application of it. It brought tears to my eyes. He said, no, they rally to their king. They rally to their king. Wow, come on. God is saying, will you rally to your king this morning? Come on, will you rally to Jesus? Will you rally to your king? I don't know about you, but I want to rally to my king. I want to have a faith that's daring, a faith that's alive, a faith that's moving with Him, that's willing to do whatever He asks me to do. Come on, too many believers are walking in fear, held in fear, afraid to move forward, afraid to do anything great for God. You know that Hebrews 3:12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. Somebody, a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine in Tennessee posted yesterday, and he said the number one accepted sin in the church is the sin of unbelief. Wow. The number one accepted sin is unbelief. Come on, we need to have a fresh explosion of faith. A faith that believes God for greater things. A faith that will step out. And come on, what battles are you facing today? What battles are raging in your life? Is God challenging you to be brave, maybe in your marriage? Or maybe He's challenging you to be brave at work or with your friends or be courageous with your kids or in your health or your finances, whatever it is. Are you all in? Will you rally to your King? Come on, we need to have this in our lives both personally and corporately. And so this morning I want to give you six things that the Bible says about a daring faith. Six things, all found in Hebrews chapter 11. Number one, faith is believing when I don't see it. Faith is believing even when I don't see it. That's what Hebrews 11:1 says. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Come on, man says, I'll believe it, help me out, when I see it. That's what man says. I'll believe it when I see it. God says, no, you'll see it when you believe it. Come on. Faith is visualizing the future in the present. It's seeing in advance. Abraham called those things that were not as though they were. Come on, you've got to begin to speak things out over your life. You've got to begin to believe God. Come on, if your marriage is a failure, don't claim that it's a failure. Don't say it's a failure. Don't say my husband's a jerk or my wife is petty. Come on, begin to bless your spouse. Begin to speak the positive things of God over them. Bless them. I remember before the Brownsville revival, John Kilpatrick said that they didn't have certain things in the church, and he had a heart for revival, and he wanted, but God had been teaching him about the mystery and the power of a blessing, about speaking things as a blessing over. And so they didn't have he wanted a brass section in the church, and didn't have anybody that played trumpet or anything like that. And so in prayer, when he was having his prayer time, he just began to thank God. God, I thank you. I thank you that we have a brass section in our church, that we have trumpet players in our church and trombones and whatever, God, that you want to send us. You know, it wasn't just a very short time after that that God sent them this guy that could play the trumpet, and God used him mightily in their worship team. We had the same thing when Renee and I were in Flemingsburg. We didn't have anybody that could do anything. And so Renee had Josiah and Samuel, I mean Israel and Samuel, were 3 and 18 months, something like that, almost 4 and 18 months. And she's trying to play the piano, and they're running up there, and they're banging on the piano with her, and she's trying to play, and I'm trying to lead the singing, and it was just crazy. There wasn't a single person that would say, come on, boys, come sit with us, or hold them, or love on them. There was nothing. And so Renee could not play the piano. I mean, she could not do it. And then the children's ministry actually started to grow. You know, young families started coming in to see what the church was like. So now Renee has to move to be the nursery worker. And we had nobody to lead the music. And I've told y'all this story before, but I knew the notes on the piano. I'd played trumpet in high school, but I'd never played the piano before. And so I knew 3 notes make a chord, but I never knew what you did with your left hand. And I never knew what to do with the bass notes. I don't read music, I just see the chords. And so this teenage boy came in, and he was sitting at the piano, and he was playing this song, and he was just hitting the bass note, just one finger in the bass note. Well, I could do that. And so I sat down and started playing a couple of chords. And one Sunday night, we were having a prayer meeting, and I wanted a song to come on just kind of so we could just worship a few minutes like we did this morning, just sing in the Spirit and just flow. It was pretty much me, and I think one other person was there. And Renee had the kids in the back, and she comes walking in from the back, and I stepped up to the piano and had a keyboard in there, and I started playing Holy Spirit Rain Down. Holy Spirit Rain Down. It only has like 3 chords. And so I started playing it. She walked in. I just kept playing. And so I became the piano player at the church. But before that, I had received this teaching from John Kilpatrick and taken it in my spirit, and we began to bless every area of our church. God, I thank you that you're sending us workers. God, I thank you that we've got guitar players. God, I thank you that we've got piano players. I thank you. You know, I think it was a month, a girl started coming to the church, and she had been to Juilliard for piano. And she could play anything. She wasn't sanctified at the time, but God took care of that. But it was funny because the praise and worship music we have, and y'all know the music today is mainly guitar, so it's not sheet music with notes, it's chords. And so I had to teach her how to untrain her brain from reading notes to reading chords. But once she figured it out, man, it didn't take long. What am I telling you? I'm telling you that if you don't have something in your life that you need, don't curse it. Don't complain about it. Bless it. Faith is believing even when I don't see it. My children are away. I don't have my children close by. I want my children home with me. They're wayward, or maybe there's something outside of your control that's keeping them from you. Come on, begin to bless that situation. Begin to speak God's life into that situation and watch your children come home. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Faith is believing when I don't see it. Number two, faith is obeying even when I don't understand it. Faith is obeying even when I don't understand it. Hebrews 11:7 says it was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God who warned him about something that had never happened before. You do realize that. I mean, we look at that story and we think, oh, Noah built a boat and it rained for, you know, the animals, they came in by Tuesdays. It wasn't that kind of thing. He didn't even know what rain was. The Bible says in Genesis that up until that time, the earth had been watered much like a dew, a water that came up from within the earth and watered the whole earth. He had never seen rain. He didn't have an idea what a flood was, but God spoke to him and said, I'm sending a flood. I'm sending rain. Build the boat. Build a what's a boat, God? I'm going to show you. And God gives him the plan. And he obeyed even when he didn't understand. Even when he didn't know what he was building, he obeyed God. It took him 120 years. It'd probably take me 1,020 to build a boat. And all the while, with every swing of the hammer, Noah's preaching to the people. Come on, God's judgment is coming. God says he's sending a flood. Can you imagine the people laughing at Noah? What in the world are you doing there? Crazy Noah building a boat in the middle of a desert. You think they probably came by with spray cans and put graffiti on the side of the boat? But he obeyed God. Hebrews 11:8. It was by faith that Abraham... That it was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. He left it without even knowing where he was going. He just became a wanderer, and God would lead him. God would show him. And the Bible, we find out in the New Testament, says he was looking for a city. He was looking for something. He didn't know what he was looking for, but he knew that God was the builder of the place he was looking for. And you got to follow God even when you don't understand. Come on, when God says go, you've got to trust him that he's going to lead the way, that he's going to show you the way. In 1996, I felt like God was telling me to come to Kentucky. I moved to Elizabethtown. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea. My parents supported me, but they weren't 100% in favor of it because they didn't know what was happening, but they knew that I felt like God was leading me, and so I moved to Kentucky. And I'm so thankful that I did. You know that the very first day that I was in Kentucky, I got invited to go to a youth rally. I was in a Baptist church at the time. I got invited to go to a youth rally at the Assembly of God Church in Brandenburg, Kentucky, where Dave Sturgeon was the pastor, for those of y'all that know Dave. And it was Renee's brother that he had invited a boy in my that was going to be in my youth group at the Baptist church, and the boy in the Baptist church invited me to go with him. And so I go with Renee's mom and her brothers and sisters and the kids from their church to this rally in Brandenburg the very first day. You know, sometimes God will show you your future before you understand what he's showing you. And so that very first day, I meet Renee. She's coming in one door as we're going out another door. And it was like, hey, how are you? It's nice to meet you. And we kept on going. And she, later on, she said during the rally, they had a band there called Omega Highway, and they were leading us in worship. And, man, I had my hands raised. I was just worshiping God just like always. And she looked down, and she goes, she was at the other end of the row. I thought he was Baptist. Sorry if that offends those of you who thought he was Baptist. She'd never seen a Baptist worship before. So anyway, it was a year later before God brought us together. So the rest, as they say, is history. What am I saying? You've got to trust God when He tells you to step out in faith. You step out in faith and you obey Him. Faith is obeying even when I don't understand it. Number three, faith is giving even when I don't have it. Faith is giving when I don't have it. Do you know that God uses finances probably as much as anything to test your faith? Hebrews 11:4 says it was faith that made Abel offer to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, he won God's approval. So you've got to give even when you don't have it. And listen, we've been there. Tithe or pay bills. Tithe or pay bills. We choose tithe every time. Why? Because I trust God. If God is the one that said to tithe, then He's the one that's going to take care of paying that bill that I think is bigger than His ability to take care of me. Because are you giving out of fear or are you giving out of faith? I heard a story about a man that their church was having a building campaign. Pretty good-sized church. And this man apparently had a fairly good income. And God challenged him over a three-year period that he laid on his heart during this building campaign service they were having to give $50,000. I know about you, that's a lot of money. And God told him to give $50,000. Now, the man... he kind of scratched his head and thought, okay, Lord. He put $50,000 and he goes home and he's standing in the backyard of his house looking up, and he lived right by the airport. And this jet plane came flying over and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, do you think I'm just going to drop that check out of the sky? Go in the house, sit down at your computer, and change your budget so that you give $50,000 over the next 3 years. And the man went inside and he sat down at his computer and he went through his checkbook and he changed all of his giving and all of his bills so that he was able to meet the $50,000 pledge that the Lord had told him to give. And so the end of 3 years come. Sunday morning comes and he writes the last check for the $50,000. He goes home after church. He's sitting in his living room eating lunch and a doorbell rings. He goes to the door and there's a man standing at the door and he says, are you so-and-so? And he says, yes, I am. And he said, well, I'm from the airport. And we... have been doing a survey of right-of-ways and everything and looking at all of the homes that are here near the airport. And we are coming around to pay all of the homes that are near the airport for the depreciation that your home has taken for the airport moving in so close to your house. And I've got a check for you. And he took the check, and you'll never guess how much the check was for. $50,000. He was in shock, goes back in the house, and steps out in the backyard as a plane is flying over. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, I can drop the check out of the air if I want to. But he wasn't going to give it to him until he was obedient first. Come on, faith is giving even when you don't have it. I heard another story about a single mom who was barely making ends meet. And she had been learning about tithing, but she was scared to death to start tithing. But she knew that she had to start tithing. And she had gotten a little bit better job. And so she was going to write her first tithe check out. And it was going to be $102. And she said, I've never, ever given $102 before. How in the world am I going to give $100? And she wrote that right as she was writing the check out in the middle of the church service. God spoke to her and said, give 120. She said, God, I can barely get 102 on this paper. Are you sure you don't have the numbers reversed, God, that it's 102 instead of... And God said, write the check for 120. She said, but God, we're not going to have any money for groceries or food after... What? But nevertheless, she knew that it was God, and she wrote the check for $120. She gets up after the service, is walking out to her car, and a man comes racing across the parking lot towards her, a man she'd never met before, very nice-looking man. He walks up, and he says, ma'am, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I don't want to scare you or bother you, but he said, the Lord told me to give this to you. And he reached in his pocket, and he handed the woman $120 in cash. And he said, I've got to tell you what happened. He said, I carry $100 bills around in my wallet as a regular rule. And God will speak to me to give people $100. And I always try to obey the Lord and bless people when I can. But the Lord spoke to me today and said, give $120. And he said, I don't carry 20s around in my wallet. And he said, when I opened my wallet to pull out the 100, there behind the first 100 was a $20 bill. And he said, God told me to give this to you. Now, what do you think that woman's faith did? You think she ever doubted about tithing again? My brother-in-law had, and sister, she understood tithing. He didn't. He wasn't raised in church. And when they got married, she kept telling, we need to tithe, we need to tithe, we need to tithe, we need to tithe. And he didn't want to tithe. And so they fought, and they went back and forth, and she'd try to get him to tithe, and he would never tithe. And finally, he had gone to a men's conference. We had gone to a men's conference at our church. They didn't even talk about money at this men's conference, but the only thing that John left from that men's conference was the impression from the Holy Spirit that if I'm going to be the man of God I need to be, then I've got to lead my family in every area, including our pocketbook. And he came home and he told Lisa, he said, all right, God told me we need to start tithing. And she was like, hallelujah. And so they wrote out that, he said, you said the Bible says to, God says, test me in this. So he said, I'm going to test him. He said, if I write this tithe check, we will not have enough money to pay our bills. And she said, John, just trust God. She goes, I believe that God's going to take care of it. So he wrote the tithe check out, 10%, just like he was supposed to. The very next day he went into work, his boss calls him into the office first thing, and he says, John, we're really pleased with the work that you've been doing, and we want to give you a raise, and it's going to be 10% of your current income. Now, you think God cares? You know, tithing is more personal to Jesus than you may even realize. It really is an act of worship. Am I going to give my first fruits? It's really not about the percentage. It's about, am I willing to give God first? And I don't give it to my favorite TV preacher. I don't give it to my pet ministry. I give it to the church where I get fed the Word of God, and then I trust Him for the rest. And I promise you, you can live better on 90% than you can on 10%. Are you giving out of fear? Fear says, what's in my account? Fear says, oh, how many bills do I have before I pay? Are you giving out of faith where you give first and you trust God to take care of the rest? You ask God, God, what do you want me to give? You know, giving begins at 10%. That was the Old Testament baseline, was the tithe. Giving really begins at 10%. And then once we move beyond that is when we begin to give. It's not giving what's left over. It's giving our best to God. Faith is giving when I don't have it. It's believing when I don't see it. It's obeying when I don't understand it. Number four, faith is persisting even when I don't feel like it. It's enduring. It's determination. It's persistence. You know, that's the exact opposite of what our culture says, right? Our culture says if it feels good, do it. Our culture says to be led by your emotions. But mature people live by their commitments, not by their emotions. The secret of success is doing what other people are unwilling to do. If you're willing to do what other people won't do, then you will find success. Come on. You know, an Olympic athlete doesn't become an Olympic athlete by just practicing whenever they feel like it. Somebody doesn't become a master musician by practicing the piano only when they feel like it. And come on, you and I don't get courageous faith by obeying God only when we feel like it. We've got to live for Him all the time. How do you get persistent faith in? Look at Moses. Hebrews 11:27 says, it was by faith Moses left Egypt without fear of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like someone who could see the invisible. Someone who could see the invisible. Come on, you got to keep, if you want to have persistent faith, if you want faith that is persistent, then you got to keep your eyes on God. You got to keep your eyes on the invisible. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got to persist in faith. I love the story, and y'all have heard me tell it 100 times, of the where Jesus said a man came to his friend's house in the middle of the night, and he wanted to know if he had any bread. And the friend's asleep. And the friend keeps on asking. He keeps on asking to the point of pestering the guy to death. And the Bible says that finally the man got up. I'm not going to do my little skit that I have with it this morning. He finally gets up. And the Bible says he went and got the man as much bread as he needed. Why? Jesus said, because of his persistence. Shameless persistence. It's found in Luke 9. And then Jesus said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and I will open the door. Persistence. Come on, we've got to have persistent faith. Number 5, faith is thanking God before I receive it. And this is similar to what we talked about a minute ago, believing before you see it. Now I'm going to thank God. Come on, Hebrews 11:30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. So the children of Israel marched around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. Remember, 6 days they walk around and God told them to be completely silent. Don't say a word. You imagine that was hard with several million people to walk around with all the babies and the children. Complete silence, God said. March around the city. One time for every day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, you're going to march around the city 7 times. And on the 7th time, you're going to blow the horn and you're going to lift up a shout of praise as loud as you can, as great as you can. And the Bible says that when they lifted their voices, and when they blew the trumpets, God caused the walls to fall flat. Why? Because they lifted a shout of praise and thanksgiving to the God of heaven, to the one that could deliver them from their enemies. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. Well, if you wait until after a prayer has been answered to thank God, that's gratitude. If you wait until after it's been answered, that's gratitude. Come on, faith is thanking God that the answer is already on the way, even before you see it. That goes so contrary to the way we think. It's thanking Him in advance. Come on, if God tells you to go after Moby Dick in a rowboat, then brother, you better bring the tartar sauce. You gotta go. You've got to do what He says to do. Faith is thanking God before I receive it. And number 6, faith is trusting God even if I don't get it. Let me tell you 2 truths about trusting God. Number 1, God hears and answers every single prayer. Did you hear that? God hears And he answers every prayer. But number two, God doesn't always answer the way that you and I would like. Faith is trusting God, even if I don't get the answer that I was looking for. Come on, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, are you kidding me? Sometimes God says, not yet. And then sometimes God will say, I've got a better idea. I've got a better idea. Come on, you as parents, do you always give your child everything you want? I hope you don't. The good parents don't. Because as parents, we know sometimes what's best for our kids. We don't give them everything that they want, and neither does God. What does that mean? God doesn't love me? Of course not. No, God doesn't give us everything that we want because he knows what is best. It's because he does love us that he doesn't give us everything. He's not Jehovah vending machine. That's how some people pray. Just pull the handle and all this stuff gonna just drop out. We're gonna talk about miracles next week. And there's two extremes. There's people that there's no such thing as miracles, and then there's people that will say, you know, the sensationalists, where miracles, miracles, miracles. All the gold dust and feathers and woo. There's got to be a balance. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says, trust me. God says, I'll meet all your needs, not all your greeds. So what do we do when God says no? What do? We have to walk in faith. Faith is trusting even when I don't get it. You've heard this before. God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. He's more interested in making us holy than he is in making us happy. Sometimes he gives you the ability to handle trials instead of removing them from your life. One of the things that we have to understand, you know, there's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. Over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. But do you realize that God is not obligated to give all 7,000 of them to all of us all the time? Some of those promises were under the Old Covenant. And they were specific to the children of Israel in the Old Covenant. Some of those promises are New Testament. They're New Covenant. The New Covenant that Jesus said is by my blood. And they're ours to claim. And we should claim them. And listen, you can ask for any promise you want from the Word of God. You can ask for anything Jesus said. But it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to get it. But there are promises that are made to us, they're for us, they're ours to claim, they're in the New Testament. But one of the things that you have to understand is that suffering is inextricably linked to the New Covenant. A part of the New Covenant, a part of what we would experience in this life were sufferings. Now, I didn't write some of those verses down. I hadn't really planned on going here this morning. But the Bible says that there are sufferings that, just like the sufferings of Jesus, the sufferings of Christ, that are designed to perfect our faith, that are designed to work inside of us, because God is more interested in the inner man. He's interested more in our character. He's interested more in seeing us be approved. A workman that knows the Word of God, that is able to do what God wants me to do. In the ancient world, when they would put a piece of pottery, they would form and shape the clay, and then they would stick it into the fire, and they would cook it under the hot fire, and if it failed, it would crack. Well, come on, we don't want cracks when God puts us under a trial or when God tests us. We don't want the cracks. We want to have when a piece of pottery came out of the fire, if it had no cracks, if it was purified by the fire, they would stamp the word in Greek dokimos on the piece of pottery, and it meant approved. It was approved. It's the word Paul uses when he says that we need to be workmen that are approved of God. Come on. He wants our character to be perfected. Yes, God can do miracles. Yes, God will move in your life and in my life. But sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. Sometimes God says not right now. I'm more interested in doing a work inside of you than I am of relieving you of this thing that you think is so horrible. Paul said, I prayed and prayed that the thorn in my flesh would be removed, but God chose not to take it away. Come on, do you realize that true faith is built in the valleys of life? Living by faith doesn't exempt us from troubles. Hebrews chapter 11, if you continue reading, the end of the chapter is filled with a list of people who didn't get their prayers answered. Many of them were killed for their faith, some violently. They were tortured. There were trials of mockings and scourging, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. Somebody was sawn in half. They were tempted. They were killed with the sword, destitute, afflicted, tormented. Verses 38 through 40 says the world was not worthy of them. And these were all commended for their faith. Look at this. Yet none of them received what had been promised. Can you put that on the screen, Jocelyn? Or Jocelyn, I mean, Hebrews 11, 38 through 40. 39, go on, keep going. Yet not one of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Come on, sometimes God has something better. So how does God build our faith? Come on, we're going to get ready to close. How does God build our faith? There's three ways. The first one is you've got to get in the Word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You want your faith built up? Get in the Word of God. Spend every moment you can in the Word of God, absorbing every word, memorizing the Word of God. I'll hide His Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By hiding your Word in my heart. Come on, it's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Put the Word of God on the inside of you. Number two, you need to pray in the Spirit. How do you build up your faith? Pray in the Spirit, Jude 1:20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Spirit. You need to speak in tongues every day. Some of you recently got baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to pray in tongues every single day. Ruth Heflin used to say, if you want to live in the glory, if you want to live in the supernatural, if you want to walk in the supernatural power of God, then you need to pray in tongues an hour every day. Couldn't do that. Sure you can. Just put on some praise and worship music and just go to town. Take it all off and on all day. But you spend time praying in your prayer language. Come on, it builds up your faith. It builds up your spirit, man. By praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, you get in the Word of God. You're going to pray in the Spirit. And then number three, you got to understand that trials, just like we said, our way, God perfects our faith. 1 Peter 1:7, these trials are only to test your faith. Come on, faith that is unchallenged is faith that doesn't grow. If you want your faith to grow, it's got to be challenged. God knows that. So if your faith remains strong after being tried in the test tube of fiery trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day that Jesus comes back. And that's the day we're looking for. Come on, I'm ready to go up when He calls us up. But come on, until then, your faith needs to remain strong. How's it going to be strong? By trials and tests that come into your life. Come on, don't kick at them. Don't get angry at them. Accept it and go on in faith. Trust in God to bring you through. Come on, get in the Word. Pray in the Spirit. And accept that trials are a part of God's process of perfecting our faith. Come on, I don't know about you, but I want to have a daring faith. A faith that'll believe God. A faith like Ma Lindsay had at Christ for the Nations when she was praying that God would give them buildings. They needed dorms and there was a building that was for sale. And she went to the courthouse and got it for a penny on the courthouse steps. How does that happen? But God. Bishop Vaughn McLaughlin, pastor of big church in Jacksonville, Florida. Their church was growing. They had a school that couldn't have both of them in the same place. And he saw a mall there in town that had gone out of business. A huge mall, bigger than Greenwood Mall. I mean, this place was huge. $20 million they wanted for this building. He didn't have $20 million. Church had a lot of money, but they didn't have $20 million. He called the people that were there and walked in, and I think they offered him, what was it, $3 million? I think they offered him $3 million. And they laughed at him. No skin off my nose. God told me to offer you $3 million. Turned around and walked out. 60 days later, they called him back and they said, Pastor, would you still offer the $3 million? He got a $20 million mall for $3 million. They kept the food court open. They kept four or five other businesses in the mall. It didn't allow them to be open on Sunday. And those businesses paid for the rent on the building, so they weren't out any money other than what they had to put up to buy this building. How does that happen but God? Come on, I want to have that kind of faith. Faith that'll walk over to Chuck's liquor store for $1 million and say, will you take $250,000? And maybe we need to do that. What's it going to hurt? We got a down payment of $30,000. Would you take it on a $1 million building? If God tells us to do it, then we need to do it. Come on, I'm ready to do what God wants us to do. Come on, God, blow the doors off this place. Come on, stand up on your feet. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you, God. Come on, just begin to lift your voice. Father, we want a daring faith. Father, we want a faith that's, come on, ask him right now. Father, give me faith to believe you. Father, let your faith, let it rise in our hearts this morning. God, that you can do whatever you want to do. Lord, help us pray big prayers. Father, help us to believe you for greater things. Lord, more than we could ask or think or imagine, Jesus. Lord, we want to have a faith that's alive, a faith that walks with you, that's believing you every day. Lord, for whatever we need. Father, help us.